Blog Talk Radio.
And sisters, in the name of Yahweh, the Most High, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. This is Pastor Paul Mullett, and you are listening to the Divine Truth Ministries radio show. We promise that we are going to have ourselves one heck of a show this evening, and we are waiting on Brother Billy to call in. So, I preparing for the show this evening, and I was thinking of what I was going to read or the prayer I was going to say for this evening, and then I read a post on somewhere, somebody's Facebook page, as a matter of fact, and it came up with an excellent couple of verses here in Micah 7:7-8. Therefore I will look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation, and my God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemies. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. That's right, folks. He will be a light unto me. He will be a light unto all of us. All we have to do is pray in his name and ask for his salvation and ask for his forgiveness in the things that we have done. Show him the love and the respect that he rightfully deserves and needs, and we will be able to accomplish anything and everything that we have set out to do. I believe that Brother Billy is going to be calling in here any moment, but as I said, tonight is going to be what we call an open mic night, and the reason why we're doing an open mic night tonight is because it is the day after quote-unquote Christmas. Today is December 26, 2015, and it is 9:03 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For all you folks out there listening today, the call-in number is 917-889-2626. And I ask that you call in with anything that you want to talk about this evening, as this is open mic night. For the next hour, we will discuss anything and everything that comes across our boards, especially in our studio here this evening. So if you have any topics of discussion, any questions, concerns, any prayer requests that you may have, please feel free to call in to 917-889-2626. And get that done, and we will be able to go on and have our show today. If not, there's going to be a lot of dead air. Hopefully people will call in and discuss some things, and we'll keep going with what we're going with here and see what we have. I do know that we already do have a caller. So let me, I believe this is going to be Sarah from WAU. I was actually not expecting her this evening, but we'll get her on the line and see what's going on. Greetings. Is this Sarah?
Yes, it is.
Hi. Are you, everything okay with you over there in Wisconsin this evening?
Yes, it is. Everything is going really well.
All right. Do you have any topics or anything that you want to discuss today while we're waiting on Mr. Billy to call in here?
I just wanted to mention the January 9th White Lives Matter flyer drop again and just encourage everyone to be a part of that.
Yes, ma'am. And I know we've had some success with that here recently. If I'm not mistaken, I saw a Facebook page somewhere where there was like 130 brothers and sisters that were involved recently.
Yeah,
does that sound about right?
I think our event page is actually over 150 now that
are
committed to going. So we are doing very well.
Great. Yeah, and Divine Truth Ministries, we're going to be doing a red balloon release, and we're going to do the hashtag White Lives Matter flyers that we passed out at the last event. So
okay, awesome.
I think we got Brother Billy here. Let me, Brother Billy, is that you?
That is me. I was doing fine just listening to the first caller, but I am here. Actually, I was able to get in. Problem was, as some of you may know, I had a laptop that crashed on me last week, and so I dusted off my old trusty desktop, and as I began to log in, realized that because of the recent move, my password and user ID were boxed up, and so just at the last second, she gave them to me, so here I am, and I am not on the admin page right now. I'm actually on the quick and dirty customer page with everybody else, but that's okay. I was able to call in, and I'm glad that you were able to get the road on the show, and Ms. Sarah was able to call in to remind everyone about the January 9th White Lives Matter flyer drop and red balloon release that's going to be coming up. It's going to be an international event. As she said, we want to encourage all of our listeners, whether they're on there or now live, listening to us on the phone or be listening in the archives, to participate January the 9th. Very simple. As she's told us many times, it's very, very easy for everyone to get involved. They can just write or type the word hashtag White Lives Matter on a piece of paper. And if they are not capable of doing that, they need a PDF to be emailed to them so that they can print out like a flyer. They can email her at whitelivesmatters@yahoo.com. That's whitelivesmatters@yahoo.com. And you have to put an S at the end, whitelivesmatters@yahoo.com, because the one without the S was taken. So use a plural. And that way you'll be able to get a PDF form of the flyer emailed to you. You can hit print and save yourself the arduous task of having to actually write out hashtag White Lives Matters and print it out yourself. So that's January the 9th. We hope everyone will participate. And I know that we're going to have a big show tonight, because this is our first post-Christmas show. And in our first Christmas show, one of the things that we did, if you remember, Pastor, is we had a trivia question related to
yes,
the holiday.
We did. Okay.
We did discuss, of course, because the early Christian church didn't traditionally celebrate Christmas, per se. We don't traditionally celebrate the birth of a martyr, our Savior. We celebrate the acts that makes them a martyr or a Savior, just like we don't celebrate the birthdays of prophets. We celebrate their days when they reached martyrdom. And, of course, for example, when the pilgrims first came to America, the first week they got here, right before December, they spent building houses because they didn't really have Christmas, per se, and that didn't really change until about the 19th century, but we discussed that last week. And we also had a trivia question where I asked if anyone could tell us what the occupation was of the three wise men. And remember, these three guys that showed up, having followed the star of Bethlehem to the scene of the nativity, to the manger scene, and they came to pay homage to the newborn baby Jesus, and they brought, you know, the three traditional gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and we're all familiar with that. But a lot of people don't really know what their occupation was, per se, so hopefully someone will call tonight or post in the chat room an answer to that trivia question. And since it's pretty much a gimme, we're going to just, I'll tell you what, I will give a free ebook copy of my recent book, Remnants, to the first person that can correctly tell us who or what the occupation was of the three wise men who came to visit baby Jesus. A free ebook of my new science fiction book, Remnants. And I guess since I brought it up, I will take just a second to tell people it's CI fiction, not science fiction. It's a new genre I just invented today. It's a brand new category of book, CI fiction, which means that it's Christian identity, science fiction. And what I tried to do is, you know, as you know, Pastor, you've read in Genesis a lot about the watchers who were the sons of God who saw the sons, the daughters of man, and saw they were fair and took some of them to wife, and they were giants on the earth in those days, and you know, Noah was saved because he was pure in his generations and separate from that. So he and his offspring were not contaminated, if you will, or mixed with the bloodline of the Watchers, those angels who either were fallen or did fall because they fell for the cute human girls. Well, that's kind of the direction that I take off from, you know, because I am a logical person like yourself and rational, and I'm fascinated by the place in our minds and in our hearts and our spirits where sense of rationality meets and mesh, because the scientific facts, which did not really understand as being scientific facts until many centuries, even millennia later. The Bible talks about, you know, the shape of the planets around. And so it was hundreds of years after the Bible was written, people still thought the earth was flat. The Bible talks about the depth and the breadth and size of the universe in ways that until the time of Copernicus and Galileo, humans, you know, a thousand years later, finally began to comprehend. So the Bible is full of scientific fact and logic, if we are able to understand and comprehend it. And in the Old Testament, I'm always fascinated by things like, you know, Ezekiel's vision of the wheel within, and the fact that, you know, Elisha was taken up in a whirlwind live. And if you think about things like, you know, Moses fully mounted in the burning bush, we had to take off his sandals to be able to speak to God. And, you know, our forebear, Jacob, who was named Israel, was given that name because he physically wrestled with, depending on your interpretation, either God or an angel. And got his, you know, hip knocked out of socket wrestling with him. These things, you know, in a non-faith-driven society would be interpreted as, you know, the guy with the big hair on the History Channel talking about ancient astronauts. So where we can interpret these things from a biblical standpoint, from a faith-based standpoint, it's fascinating to reach who perhaps not raised in church or faith. And what I do with this book, Remnants, is I try to relatively seamlessly mesh the two. But I wait until chapter 17, until the end of the book, to actually give it a twist. It's a surprise ending, but there are enough foreshadowing in retrospect. If you're Monday morning quarterback and go back and read the book, you'll see some hints coming. And so I wanted to kind of talk about these cultural. And
okay, Billy, you're breaking up really bad. You're going in and out. You must have some bad weather down that way.
It has been. Is that any better? Let me see if I can move. Is that better?
Yeah, that is better. We also have a Mr. Philip from down in your area that's on the line. Do you want me to bring him on now?
Absolutely, because he is also, I wanted to introduce him, because this topic of discussion is one that he has researched and written about. Philip is a writer as well and a researcher in this area. And while he hasn't had an opportunity, I don't believe, to read my book yet, I would like to discuss this possibility with him, if you wouldn't mind bringing him on.
All right, Mr. Philip, you're live on the air with Divine Truth Ministries Radio.
Okay, I just wanted to comment a few things on Billy's topic about the three wise men.
Okay.
And I think, I don't find myself in disagreement with him, but I think probably in those days, although it probably would have been a small army, because in those days you did not travel halfway across the world by yourself, so they probably would have had servants with them. They would have had probably some military people with them, and because they're carrying, you know, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So I would imagine when they finally showed up at Herod's, you know, temple looking for the Christ child, it wasn't just three people, it was a small army. And naturally that scared the mess out of Herod's, because he thought a revolution was in progress right now. That's why he wanted to know, where's the Christ child born?
Right, right. Well, I couldn't agree more. I don't think that they would have traveled by themselves, especially given their titles and positions, you know, within the countryside. And that goes once again back to Billy's question from last week. If anybody can tell us the name or the actual job description, quote unquote, that the three wise men had, given their positions and stuff, there was no way in the world they were going to travel without some sort of servants or
right.
a military escort, especially back in those days. I mean,
right.
traveling out there back then would be like a white man traveling down the ghetto streets of Chicago with a white pride t-shirt on.
That's true.
We have actually Sarah is chatting in, and she said that she might know the answer to the trivia question, and she
okay.
is actually typing as we speak.
Are you guys
so,
in a chat room somewhere? Because the chat room I have opened up only has three people in it.
Really? Okay.
I'm on a cell phone outside, actually.
Right.
Mr. Phillip?
Yes, sir.
She is, I guess it's going to be a race to see. Would you like to take a guess at the trivia question? Sarah was
okay.
typing, but the answer didn't come. She's typing again, so it's going to be a race. Do you know what the occupation was?
I'm going to guess,
the,
since they studied the heavens, they were like advisors to the king, what we would call astrology now, but it's not the New Age astrology we practice now. There is a biblical astrology that's actually mentioned in Revelations. I'm going to say that's what they were. That's what they were.
Well, this
well,
is amazing. It's so funny. Sarah just typed in, weren't they astrologers, as you were saying that they were astrologers.
Well, give it to her. She's female.
You know
well,
what?
Now, hold on a second,
give,
guys, because
okay.
they're both wrong. They
okay.
say they were astrologers, but their official position was not astrology. There's a name that was used back then for astrologers. Now, if we're going to do this, it's got to be done correct, Billy. They got to come
I
up
agree.
With the exact name.
Well, I was going to say that they were firemen. They were all three firemen because the scripture says that, behold, they came from afar. So
right.
That would mean that they were firemen, right? Because they came.
Well, I'll give you guys a hint. It starts with an M. Now let's see who's
magi.
Right. Who said it?
I did. Yeah, but Holthoff probably knows it. I don't think anybody heard me except you. Holthoff. It starts with M. He said.
Magi.
Well, hold on. Bob had already put in here the three wise men based on the three gifts, but the Bible doesn't give a number of magi.
That's right.
Well, okay, so, okay, I tell you what. You know what I'm going to do? Because it's my book, and it's just after Christmas, I will make sure that Bob and Sarah and Philip, all three, get free ebook copies of Remnants, and that way
nice.
They will all be winners. They will all be winners.
Great
well,
job. That's really good.
Now, Philip, while I've got you on the line, I was discussing briefly, right, as you were calling in, I don't know if you heard or not, about how well, I'm calling this a CI-5 book, where at the end of it I actually talk about Christian identity and mesh it with the potentiality, because here's my perspective, and I hope it's not too heretical for people, but, you know, Genesis chapter 5 says this is the book of the generations of Adam. Specifically for our people, for white people, for the descendants of Adam. And so it was not written for the Hottentots or the Tutsis or the Filipinos for Bushmen or Eskimos. It was written just for white people. And that's why it doesn't tell the stories of Africans or Chinese people. It actually doesn't really talk about anyone outside of the garden, any pre-Adamic man, except for when it happens that our people run into them and have interactions with them. It's not the history of Chinese or black people. So just as it's true that the Bible is the book of the generations of Adam and tells the story of our people, it could also be true, I believe, that the divine creator that made the heavens and the earth may have very well possibly made intelligent life on other planets elsewhere, which it's not our business to know about. And it wouldn't be included in the Bible, just like stories about the Chinese and the blacks wouldn't be included in the Bible because it's the book of the generations of Adam. And so that's why I believe that's possible. If you look at statistically the number of suns and stars and planets around them, it's possible that there could be intelligent life somewhere. And so the book was actually an attempt to logically mesh the potentiality of extraterrestrial alien intelligence life somewhere with Christian identity faith. And so that was actually the twist that I put at the end of it, and actually made it racial, and that some of the aliens were encouraging racial miscegenation. Some were, and they were actually acting in a demonic way. And, of course, some of the extraterrestrials were encouraging racial separation, acting in an angelic way. But I know that you actually researched some of these topics before. What would be your take on that?
Well, I do believe the Bible talks about race. So I don't see how you can turn it into an egalitarian book, especially if you read the book of Numbers and whatnot, because God used to wipe out whole tribes to prevent them from polluting the Israelites. And, you know, one of the reasons why Noah was on the ark is because the Bible said he was perfect in his generations, which means he had not mixed with any non-Israelite people or the Nephilim, if you believe in the concept of the Nephilim. But I think there's a passage somewhere in the Bible, I don't know where, but Jesus told his disciples in heaven there might be sheep not of this fold. Now, we've taken that to mean where there may be other people outside of Palestine, it goes to heaven. But what if he meant that he created more worlds than one and there might be paths to salvation for some of these other people on other planets in different solar systems or something? That would definitely be sheep not of this fold. I wish I could remember what verse it is, but I don't know. I know it says sheep not of this fold, but...
Well, I can't think of it right off the top of my head either, but I think he was talking about the people that were not of the tribe is what it was in reference to. Billy, Mr. Bob in the chat says he has all of your books, and he would like for you to find somebody worthy enough to receive the e-book of that and send it to them in his name.
Okay, I certainly will. That's still very generous. Thank him for that. Very nice.
He heard you.
Okay, good. Good.
Now, Billy, I know that we have got a lot of topics to discuss, and we're already down to 37 minutes of the show. And if I remember correctly, there was going to be a lot of hotbed topics. So why don't we have Mr. Kevin call us in? We got Sarah on the line. And Mr. Phillip, you can stick around here if you want to. I appreciate you coming aboard. And we're going to get ready to get into some serious white nationalist separating
the wheat from the chaff, right?
The wheat from the chaff, yes, sir. I was going to find a more cogent way of putting it, but that's about the best way to do it. So,
sure. I want to take responsibility for this because this is not the kind of thing that we normally do on this program as far as naming the names of those who ought to be named. But we really need, now Sarah said that she's not interested in actually speaking on the air, but I know that Kevin is going to be calling in.
Well, hold on a second, Billy. Hold on. Sarah, you're still on the line. You want me to mute you?
Yes, please.
Okay. All right, Billy, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. Normally we don't name the names of people who should be named, but in this case we have to make an exception to those rules because we cannot just simply leave well enough alone and let sleeping dogs lie because dogs aren't asleep. They're nipping at the heels of those of us who are actually trying to do God's work, do the work of the white race to save our people, to secure the existence of our people in the future for white children. So what's going on is there is a coalition, per se. And a coalition means that if you take the dregs at the bottom of the barrel and scrape it out and shake it into a pile of garbage, then that's a coalition, I guess, by any other term. It really rejects from every corner of the movement that have been swept together into a dirty pile and now call themselves the Black and Silver Coalition. And there are several people who have been time and time again pointed out as being either traitors to our cause and to our race or degenerate in one way, form, or fashion or another, who have taken the reins of leadership of different organizations and then combined these organizations into this coalition. I'll just name some of the people, but I don't mind it being on me. People like Bradley Jenkins, who's the head of something he calls the UKA, the Klan of America. This is a guy who actually allied and did a protest with black gangs, the Crips specifically, in Memphis against other white nationalist organizations. He actually called a journalist who had given an interview to another white nationalist organization and made the claim that the organization that had interviewed was a fake organization, but his organization was real and traditional and genuine, and that he did not believe that we should be racist. We should be more inclusive. And he's going to prove that by standing against racism and hatred, standing against white racist, standing with the Black Crip gang against the KKK. So that's just one example. The guy's been in prison for selling drugs, and a lot of people who know about him, I believe one of the former officers who called him this evening, could give more detail. I've known the guy since before Pastor Butler died. I'll tell a little personal anecdotal story, and if he doesn't like it, he's welcome to call in or call me personally. But before Pastor Butler passed away, he and I went down to have a demonstration at the SPLC offices in Montgomery, Alabama. Some people know about that demonstration. And on the way, we talked with Ray Redfern and some other people at Brad's house in Alabama. This is before Brad really got started on a handful of people, and wanted to, Pastor Butler's permission, form the Aryan Nation Knights. And he was going to have an initiation ceremony, which Hal Turner was present and wanted to be naturalized in the. So Hal, in Brad's backyard, started sliding around the mud with him like a pig and playing like he was going to be naturalized, but he was too inebriated and otherwise recreationalized to get into it, and decided that it was like a college fraternity prank that he wanted out of. So Brad came running into his living room, right, me and Pastor Butler and Ray Redfern, grabbed an SKS out of his closet, started running back outside with it, and jacked around into the chamber, which caused the round that was already in the chamber to fall out on the floor. And the guy who was with me in charge of my security turned out to be an FBI informant you might have heard of called Rick Spring. I sent outside to stop Brad from shooting Hal. And he did. And threw Hal in the rental car and got him off the property. So the next morning as we're leaving to go to the SPLC offices, I had picked up that 762 round and walked up in front of everybody and handed it to Brad. And I said, hey, you might need this again someday. Just one example of the kind of guy that is now calling himself the leader of this organization, UKA. He really is pretty degenerate. I can tell a lot more stories, but I'm sure people know him. Another one, James Logsdon. Okay, James Logsdon.
Hold on, Billy. Hold on. I have a special guest caller from, I believe he's an ex-member of the UKA. Mr. Dan, you're on the line, and we also have Brother Kevin on the line as well. So let's let Mr. Dan do a little discussion with about Mr. Jenkins, and then we'll move on to Mr. Logsdon, okay?
Absolutely.
All right, Brother Dan, you're live.
All right, Keegan, racial greetings, brothers.
Hey.
Well, there's a couple of things here that I really want to touch on when it comes to Mr. Jenkins here. You know, the things that y'all are saying about him, you know, everything like that is pretty well dead on, and I kind of hate that he has went as far as he's went and had the things to say that he has about other Klansmen, other organizations. I was actually his Grand Dragon during the time that the whole Memphis thing went on. Didn't really get in line with that. Of course, he had one excuse after another when it came to that. But then as time went on, you know, he had one of his officers that went and joined the NAACP. And I believe here just this past summer, he's went back and paid another $50 to the NAACP and joined forces with them again. And some other things, you know, is you know, he's self-proclaimed informant against other Aryan Brotherhood organizations, other Klan organizations and things like that, which, you know, as a Klansman, it's not really for me to judge another Klansman, you know, in a negative light, you know, as I've been done. Rather, I'm to give the facts of about, you know, how our name's been desecrated by him just to further himself and his clan, whether it be financially or just whether it's just to make a personal name for himself. So, you know, the facts are the facts, and I kind of got four good facts right here, and I thought about those tonight, and I just wanted to point them out. My point number one is that, you know, he's kind of bent clan craft around to fit his own agenda, to make his own agenda valid. Whatever it is, however he wants to talk about another organization, any Aryan organization, I'll put it that way, he's bent the clan to make that okay with it, make everything valid. My point number two is what knowledge this man has is knowledge that's stolen or gained. It's not gained. I mean, is not passed down or anything like that. It is stolen from one person or another, and he's put it all together and made it fit again his agenda. Also, point number three, he's stolen a lot of things from others within the organization, whether it be Regalia, anything like that, to make the property of UKA or whoever. I've been through that myself personally. He's had a lot of negative things to say about me, bashing me, telling me that, you know, I would never be part of another Aryan group, whether it be clan or whether it be anything to do with the movement. Kind of threw me away from the movement there for a while, and I had a bad taste in my mouth thinking that, you know, well, maybe he's right. Maybe he's got enough pull in this organization and these different organizations to make a bad name for me or any of my people. And to tell you the truth, I've been brought out of that by Brother Ken, and I've been brought out of that by a couple of my other brothers, and I'm just here to stand and you know, say that, you know, before anybody out there wants to consider what Mr. Jenkins has to say, you have to consider the source and consider where it's all coming from. You know, this man just wants to further his own orders, his own agenda. The more people that he can get to back him, the more people that he can get to pay his dues and everything like that, it's better off for him. Which brings me to a point, and this is why I love being a Klansman in the first place, is just simply because we are a Christian organization, and there's a couple of scriptures that reminds me of this whole point, which, you know, it's Proverbs 27:17, which is as iron sharpens iron, so it's one person to sharpen another. If this man really was holding by his beliefs and by his truths, instead of blasting on another person or blasting on another Christian organization or Aryan organization, then he would realize this and hold these to be truths. You know, he would sharpen his brother. He wouldn't down his brother. You know, and that's kind of why I'm here. I'm not really here just to down him as he's been downing everybody else, but at the same time, maybe try to wake him up just a little bit to let him see that, you know, people are not going to stand for that. You know, we have to sharpen each other. And also another scripture that comes to mind is Ecclesiastes 4:10, which it says, if either one of us falls down, one can help another up. But you pity the one who falls and has no one to help him up. And that's another thing that he's doing. He's, with as much negativity as he's putting out now, all of his brothers and everything like that, he's going to fall eventually one day. There's not going to be anybody there to help pick him up, because he's not going to have any kind of backing behind himself, because he's been digging a hole for so many years. You know, coming at you guys, the Black and Silver Solution getting together and coming at you guys full bore, I don't understand it. Because I don't understand the fight that these kind of people want to keep between our race. And, you know, it seems like he's more focused on, you know, fighting with us and fighting with his own white brothers than he is focused on fighting who the real enemy is. You know, these Crips and stuff out here, brother, they're killing us every day. They're out here committing crimes against us. They're robbing our people. They're raping our women and children. You know, and why would we want to work for something like that? You know,
exactly.
Why would we want to have anything to do with anything? Why would we want to go and join the NAACP who backed the Black Lives Matter organization, you know, and the whole time, what are they doing? They're committing crimes against Caucasian victims, period. Period, point blank. And in supporting the NAACP, in supporting these other groups that he's supporting, he's directly supporting them. And I don't understand how you can't really see that, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And so you've known him personally, you served under him, and you've seen some of his malfeasance actually in action on a day-to-day basis, the nuts and bolts witnessing that those of us who haven't, you know, actually, most of my experience with Brad hasn't been for years. I've known him, you know, for the last 15 years or so, but not recently. But you can speak to these more recent things, and it shows not just one failure, not just one mistake or error, but really what I think most of us would define as being a sustained example of character flaw, when a person continually year after year after year behaves in a certain way that's actually a pretty indicative of their character. And I find that when I look at these people like Brad, who are the leaders, the organizers of this Black and Silver Coalition, that they all share these kind of common character flaws that they've exemplified year after year after year, trying to sycophantically gain off other people's glory or ride other people's coattails. There are people who in the Black and Silver Coalition try to use the RWR, the right-wing resistance name, even though they're not legitimately supposed to do so. They're not members of that organization, but they still try to use those banners and that name. There are affiliates or auxiliaries of the Sadistic Souls Motorcycle, part of the Black and Silver Coalition, which try to use the Women for Area Unity initials, WAU, when they're not at all qualified or legitimately supposed to be even having those letters in their mouth, much less claiming them. They have no association or affiliation with WAU, and if they claim that they do, then that's just an outright lie. But they're trying to use the well-earned, honorable reputation of these pro-white organizations that were amassed through years, decades of hard work for our people for their own glory and to make money and for their own reputation, which has not been earned by them. And so using the WAU name by the Sadistic Souls pass-arounds, I'll be blunt, or using the RWR name by people who have no legitimate right to be claiming that. You know, there's 26 other letters in the alphabet. They could use something other than those three letters to call themselves that. But then you look at other people in the Black and Silver Coalition that have that same kind of legitimate character flaw. You know, people like Dennis and people like James Logsdon that I started to mention. And if Ken is on the line, Kevin, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, brother.
Okay, so Kevin and I both know James Logsdon has the same kind of character flaws that we've been talking about Brad Jenkins having. And just for example, you know, whether we are, I'm not a creator. I have respect for Matt Hill and his sacrifice for our people, and I consider him to be a personal friend, but I'm not a creator. James Logsdon claims to be a creator, but he's the kind of guy who will call up Matt Hill's elderly mother and curse her out over the phone and try to hijack all of Matt's work while at the same time disrespecting Matt and disrespecting Matt's mother. You know, I would not talk to a black woman the way that I've heard him having spoken to her, disrespectfully cursing at her. And he's a drunkard. He's a lout. And if you look at what he's put on his own ministry blog spots and the way that he conducts himself with the media, where he says that, oh, there's almost no white women in the movement because the movement is violent. And the reason why we're violent is because, you know, I was raised by a Vietnam veteran who was mentally unstable and taught me to hate Asians. And I spent time in prison. Who's going to read an article, an interview by someone like that and think, oh, yeah, I think I should get involved in that. That sounds pretty healthy, pretty rational, pretty sane. We're trying to reach, I believe, people who are not yet in the movement rather than preaching the choir. No mainstream white American, no conservative is going to be more sympathetic to our cause by reading anything that James Logsdon writes. And that goes along with the fact that I have some personal history with him where I know him to be a person of extremely low character in a lot of different ways. Ways that if he and I were in the same room, it would not be at all civil. And it's been that way for many years. But I know that that Kevin can also speak to his character and can probably verify a lot of things I'm saying to be true about Mr. Logsdon. Is that correct, Kevin?
That is correct. Let me take 1 second to jump on the Bradley Jenkins thing that you guys were speaking of.
Absolutely.
No, Dan Higgins and I have been friends for years now. I helped put UK back on the map due to a flyer drop, okay? We did a little flyer drop challenge, and, you know, I got UK back more than ever, more than they've been in years. You know, in fun, I'm not Christian. You know, I'm just a supporter of anybody that, you know, I stand with, is a friend of mine, and I back them, and we have fun, we make things happen. You know, UK was put on the map in, I believe, 2012, you know, due to a flyer drop. It was a Neighborhood Watch flyer. And, you know, I've been friends with the UK guys for the longest until they've seen a Halloween picture of mine, all right? Just a mock Halloween picture with an inverted cross on my head. I was dressed like a zombie. And all of a sudden, UK spun on me. Brad Jenkins said I was Satan. He said I was on the other side. I didn't stand with this group. Had no respect for the members. And I've never done anything to these people besides help them. And Dan could attest to that.
That's all correct.
It was all over a picture, where the tide spun on me. And I've done nothing but help and support these people. They actually had me so respected amongst their crew that they made me a co-host of the radio show that they did every Tuesday night, and I became a Thursday night talk show. And I did over 100 episodes with Eric Krieger, because that's how much they helped me in regard. But one picture spun me into oblivion, and now I became the traitor. And, the biggest thing the UK uses against me is just saying, oh, you had a black co-defendant. Hey, he wasn't my friend, didn't know him. But when the FBI indicts people, they indict your mailman. They'll indict the milkman. They don't care. So that's Bradley Jenkins' biggest spin against me is, I'm an alleged Satanist because of a Halloween picture. And B, I'm a federal informant because there's a black co-defendant in my case. Onto Logsdon. Yes. This individual has spoken ill to Matt Hale's mother. He does not represent Matt Hale or the creativity. He does not recognize Matt Hale as being part of creativity. He said they just moved on. They did their own thing. And this is false. Matt Hale will and always will be part of it. He never handed his position to anybody. Logsdon doesn't care for the squaws. He deals with these nasty bikers who are the worst thing that's ever happened to our movement. There's nothing good about these people. They stole the Aryan Nation's name. They're not even Christians. When Pastor Butler died, Aryan Nations died. These guys come out there saying they have some guy that's the bloodline of Butler. There's no proof of that. This guy came out and just said it, and everybody believes it. I think it's SSJD is his tag, John Bellinger. He is not a descendant of Butler, nor is the ANSFMC. And they formed this coalition that I'm really speaking of called the Black and Silver Coalition, where the creativity movement, UK, IKA, and ANSFMC come together. Claiming that they're RWR. Well, they're not RWR either. They're a bunch of nobodies. They claimed they have an alliance with Women for Aryan Unity. That's false as well. They're right. A bunch of tips, a bunch of leeches that came out of nowhere that just stick their name to anything they can and say that they're activists in this movement. They're not. None of them are. They never will be. And that's why I'm glad you guys are doing the show tonight and saying that, this is false. They're false prophets of this movement. They're a detriment. They hurt our image. They hurt everything we do that's positive, and stick their names to everything as the generous they are.
And Kevin, you and I both kind of had this principled approach to white nationalism that even if we disagree with someone insofar as their religious views or their political views, it doesn't matter their organizational views, as long as they're fighting for the 14 words, we don't only give them a pass, we actually stand with them and stand beside them and fight with them. But it's reached a point with these Black and Silver Coalition people that people like the RWR, people like ourselves, people like the WAU are having their good reputations and their good names sullied and dragged through the mud by these leeches, these degenerates, who literally have it in their mind because they are so degenerate and have such a prison mentality that if they see Heil with one hand and flip off the camera with the other, they're going to win the racial holy war and bring over mainstream white people to want to stand with a bunch of greasy, dirty-looking bikers, because that's really what Sally Soccer Mom and Joe Sixpack wants to identify with, I'm sure. So these people that are stealing WAU's name and stealing RWR's name and trying to even steal Aryan Nation's name,
those are the people that those of us who actually spend our lives fighting for the good of future generations of white kids have to stand against, because unity is a good idea, but there was a German leader who once said that you don't become stronger by tying yourself to a bunch of weaklings. And they had this thing called the Night of the Long Knives, where there were a bunch of perverts and degenerates who had to be removed, cut out like a cancer from their movement in order to make it stronger and healthier. It's like in 2004, you know, when I had to actually do what was called the Christmas coup of 2004 and stand against those like Alex Lindner and BNN who wanted to give Fraser Glenn Miller a pass and let him back into the movement after he actually testified and informed on members of the order. Sometimes you have to take those hard lines, make those difficult decisions, even if it costs you friends, even if it costs you popularity, even if it gets somebody wanting to fight you or whatever they want to do to prove how macho they are. You have to do the right thing sometime, and that's what time is all about. People who have honor, who have integrity, who have character, standing together to say that we are not with these degenerates, these perverts, these sycophants, these profiteers, these posers, who call themselves the Black and Silver Coalition. And I personally am putting my name on the line saying I don't care if they like it or not, because I've never really hidden from anybody, and as far as I know, nobody's hiding from me. I'm going to say what I want to say. And what I want to say is that these people don't represent me. They don't represent our movement. They don't represent my race. And I will not stand with them now, and I will not live with them in a white society after the day of the rope is over. And we need to clean house. We need to make sure that we police our own ranks, because if we don't, the lowest common denominator is what the controlled media will use to represent us. It will be those Hollywood Nazis, those degenerate scum that are used as our poster boys, and that's what people will think of when they think of our movement that we've poured our blood and sweat and tears in for decades, in which so many martyrs have died fighting for. And I'm not going to stand and let that happen silently. I'm standing here tonight saying, just like you are, that we have to police our own ranks, we have to clean our own house, and we have to make those hard decisions necessary sometimes to say that this is not allowed, they are not with us, they're not going to be allowed to use the WAU name or the RWR name or the Aryan Nation's name legitimately without people calling them on their BS.
And that's what I think, right,
people like, and people like you and Dan standing with us is crucial in that.
Yeah, well, and you nailed it right. Hollywood Nazis, that's exactly what they are. The little cliche pricks that run around with their tattoos and claim white power. You know, what kind of power are you showing? You've shown us nothing. You know, all they do is just steal names, claim groups. They make a bunch of memes. They say they're the movement. You're not. You know, it's people like us that are actually out there doing something, making a difference, and they tarnish everything we do. No, the true detriment of our movement is people like that. No, for all the good we do, we climb up 10 rungs on a ladder, they drop us down 14 rungs, and we're back at the bottom trying to clean up their mess. No, because there is nothing about them that is valid. There's nothing noble. There's nothing Aryan. You know, they're a bunch of scum that just keep trolling around. And, you know, one of the biggest things is, like you were saying, Billy, is who's going to look at us with respect in society when you have those images and those people walking around the streets? You know, they'll never look at us with respect and say, hey, you know, I'm proud to be white. I want to stand with these guys. Because when you Google, you find their images, their middle fingers up in the air. You know, they're whoever's passed out on the floor drunk at the clubhouse. That's crap.
You know, Kevin, I'm no angel either, but I can tell you, imagine this. Can you imagine if you were able to introduce the first Fuhrer, if you're able to introduce Adolf Hitler to the Sadistic Souls Motorcycle Club, what do you think his reaction would be to them?
Put him on the wall.
Well, it's the brain, and followed up by a couple of hand grenades up the rear ends, the clubhouse destroyed, he wouldn't even piss on them if they were on fire. That organization and everybody that is involved with those organizations are not what anybody should consider white pride or white power. They are, in fact, the slum of the gutters, the slime that is left on the walls after a flood, and not one of those individuals has a right to call themselves white, Aryan, proud, Christian, Christian identity, Odinist, or any of the like, when you sit there and you belittle organizations that have fought, have a proven track record, have dedicated themselves, and do things for other organizations and other white people in their community outside of having a clubhouse. Hey, give me $10 to come in. Here's a $4 beer. Sit down, get drunk. We'll pop a little dope in ourselves here after a while, and we'll go out and we'll have some fun and claim white power. That's not white power. That's not white pride. That's white disgrace.
Amen, brother.
And you know, we're making the true separation right here. Just letting people know that, you know, us together, we stand against it. These people will never be recognized in the movement. And I think Sarah was trying to chime in. Sarah, are you still there?
Sarah's on mute. Let me see if she wants to come back on here. Sarah, they're asking for you. Do you want to talk? You're on live.
Sure, I'll talk.
Okay. Go ahead,
Sarah, no, we need your opinion on this, my friend.
Well, obviously, I am totally against this situation at all, and WAU has, Women for Aryan Unity, has been around for 25 years, and I refuse to see it dragged through the mud here in the States by these possessions of the motorcycle club using the same initials. And to me, it is so ridiculous that people with a proven track record of betraying their race still have followers. And I think it's important for people like us who only want to work together, want to see our race furthered and a future for our children, stand up against this and call them out. And I think this is very important.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a very clear, it doesn't require people to be rocket scientists. If you're listening for the first time, you've never heard of black and silver, it's very simple. You can hear people's character instinctively. If a person claims white power, if they're able to flip the right arm at a 45-degree angle, but you wouldn't trust them around your kids, if a person knows the 14 words, but you wouldn't leave your wallet around in front of them, you know, if a person knows who David Lane was, but you would be afraid to leave them in your house for 10 minutes while you went to the store, then you don't need to stand and fight with those people because they don't need to be in our future white society.
Here is a comment from the chat room. I am tired of the infighting between groups. We're fighting for our very existence. We will need everyone. We don't have time to be watching our backs from our own people. I hate the liars, the takers, and those who present a false image of our struggle. All we can do is be honorable and allow the people to see who we really are. I've seen this going back to the 70s. Any thoughts on that?
We don't
in the
70s, everybody.
We had thousands of people marching in the street. I think in the 70s, the white nationalist movement was stronger than it is right now. So let's go back to the 70s. Let's get 10,000 people marching in the streets of major American cities, and we'll see how we can go from there. I don't think there's something wrong about the way, you know, the white nationalist movement in the 70s was probably stronger numerically than it is today. As far as letting people decide for themselves, how's that going to fly? We don't have our own controlled media. I don't have a satellite TV station where I can present my image alongside James Logsdon's or alongside the Mystic Souls and let people choose. We have to go to the controlled media who always use the lowest common denominator, the greasiest, dirtiest, most degenerate example of white nationalism as a poster boy who never sticks a middle finger up and smiles and doesn't get on the front page. And we can't compete with that by looking conservative and well-mannered, well-dressed, and well-groomed because we're not going to be presented equally side-by-side with them and let people choose. It's always a squeaky wheel that gets grease, and it's always the Jewish-controlled media is always going to use the worst common example of white nationalism as the poster boy because it's going to demean us and present that negative stereotype out to people that we're trying to reach. So we can't allow them to say we can run side-by-side with them and the best man wins because if we don't take care of cleaning our own house, no one else is going to. It's not going to be a
amen, amen. I agree with that wholeheartedly. And with the Nation of True Israel, we're going to stand together with people who represent white pride and white honor and white dedication, white determination, white sacrifice, and Yahweh, our Heavenly Father. We're going to stand with these people who are willing to stand up and go, you know what, I'm sick and tired of these little people destroying who we are and what we're trying to accomplish. We're not going to have 50,000 people. It is. But you know what? We can accomplish this if we stick together and we go out there and we put our boots on the ground and we show people we have a honor, a duty, a dignity that goes far above and beyond the slime of the gutters. We can do
Absolutely.
This. I know each one of you know we can do it.
And we don't have to sacrifice character and integrity and honor and morality to do it. I'm talking about morality in terms of instinctive human goodwill for acting white, not acting like a degenerate or a drug user or some kind of pedophile or pervert. We're talking about commonly accepted, statistically normal white behavior so that people don't think that we're all freaks. Very simple. I'm not asking for everyone to wear a suit and tie. I'm saying act like a white person. Very simple and straightforward. Unity is overrated because if you're unified, well, that's a tactic of the left. Let's all be unified. Kumbaya. Let's all sit together, you know, Indian style and smoke a blunt and be unified. I'm not about unity. I'm about elitism, if that's what you want to call it. I'm about the elite of our species and the elite of our race. I don't believe in equality between the races. I don't believe in equality within our race. And I honestly don't believe in equality within the white nationalist movement. I believe that some things, some people are better than others. And if we all had equal talents, then we would all be chiefs and there'd be no Indians. The reality is unity is shackling yourself to someone weaker than yourself. And, you know, it's like a three-legged race. That's not the fastest way to run. Unity is an excuse by the inferior, by the losers, who want to share the stage, the dice, with the winners. Think about the Olympics. There's three positions, gold, silver, and bronze. I'm sure if the bronze winners would like to say, hey, let's all get the same medal. Let's all unify. Let's all stand together in that top rung. Reality doesn't work that way. There's gold, silver, and bronze for a reason. Because equality doesn't exist in nature and doesn't exist in the white nationalist movement and doesn't exist within our race. Unity is for those who would like to be the same as everyone else, but we're not. So unity is really, I think, a problem. Too many people talk about unity. I believe that really, we need to separate the wheat from the chaff, which is what this program is about, and not lower our standards, the lowest common denominator, just to be more accepting of those who don't live up to the standards that we should all be considering necessary.
Hey, amen, amen. We got 1 minute and 45 seconds, if you guys didn't notice that the closing music has already started. Billy. Last comment, suggestions for the... Billy, anything to say, sir?
Oh, I just said mine. Anybody else wants to give a closing comment? It's all theirs.
Okay, yeah, I'll jump in real quick. This is Kevin. I just want to say thanks for having me on the call. And what it comes down to is quality versus quantity. And that's the way I believe it. You know, some people say accept everybody, bring everybody in. No, I say otherwise. No, it's about the quality. So, with that, White Lives Matter, and great segment, guys.
Yo, Victor.
Thank you, guys. Sarah,
appreciate last comment.
I just want to say White Lives Matter.
White Lives Matter, sister. Thank you. Dan, any last comments?
Yeah, brother, I just want to say white pride and all of us stick together. Just like Brother Ken said, it's quality, not quantity. So that's what we got to stick with. That's what we got to battle for. And that's what we got to do is stand for every day, brothers.
All righty. Hail victory, Brother Dan. Brother Philip, any last comments or questions? 30 seconds.
Well, I just wanted to say self-determination for all and enforced diversity or mandated equality for none.
Amen. Hail victory, brother. Brother Billy, last 15 seconds of yours.
Next week, Saturday, same bat time, same bat channel, Divine Truth Ministries. Tomorrow night on Talk Shoe, you'll be able to listen to Patriotic Front Radio with Kevin and Sarah. talking about the White Lives Matter event coming up January the 9th. Tune in tomorrow.
Hail victory.